Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, we recently saw the Westminster Kennel Club dog show, or perhaps you did on television. Did you know there are cat shows as well? And a big one is about to happen in Chicago, or just outside Chicago. And we'll tell you about that in just a moment. Just outside Chicago, Naperville, Illinois, recently said, and I've been talking about this on the radio, they said, yes, we are going to prevent pet stores moving forward from selling dogs and cats. I'm excited about that, but the pet industry sure isn't. So what they're doing is they're coming back at states like Illinois, others too, other communities also, and saying, all right, you passed the law. Now we want to roll back that law. We want you to get to where you have a vote to vote on something you already passed and vote that that law should not happen. How can that happen? We'll talk about that. I don't understand it exactly, except what they're after is repealing laws that have already been passed. I suppose that's the best way to say it. We'll talk about the breed-specific ban, rescinding the breed ban in Denver, and how that relates to Chicago as well. But first, Carrie Plummer is here. Carrie is the show manager for the Lincoln State Cat Show. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
It's going well. Tell me about the Lincoln State Cat Show, when that is, and what the heck a cat show is. Do the cats do what the dogs do and go around in circles? And I suppose they don't bark when things go well?
No, there's no barking going on, Steve. It is basically a beauty pageant for these cats. The cat show is held out at the Kane County Fairgrounds in St. Charles. It's on February 22nd and 23rd, 2020, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. And you say it's a beauty contest for these cats, so let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, I am not sure that most people necessarily know there are as many cat breeds as there are. Now, many people, most people, I suggest you guys all know about, you know, Persian and Maine Coon cats and Siamese cats, maybe Ragdoll cats. But I don't know that people know about a lot of other breeds that exist, everything from Abyssinian all the way to the Rex breeds like Devon Rex or Cornish Rex cats or the Selkirk Rex. What? The what? And on and on. There are many breeds that I think people don't even realize exist in the first place.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of breeds out there. There's approximately 42 breeds that will be at the upcoming show. These are all pedigreed cats. There'll be kittens also. And basically, they're competing against one another to possibly be the best kitten or the best cat in show. And when they do that, of course, they have a certain standard that they have to meet, like the dogs do in the dog world, where each and every specimen of the animal has to meet a certain standard to pass for its qualifications. So it really does turn into a beauty pageant.
You know, one thing,
we'll
though,
have approximately 225 cats there.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about breeds, we're having the werewolf cat.
The what?
The Lykoi breed.
Oh,
Lykoi. Yeah.
They're from Russia?
Really cool.
Russia or something like that?
That is actually a natural breed of mutation. It's becoming very apparent. We'll have several of the breeds there to take a look at. And, man, people are really going crazy for these. They're really awesome.
Where are they from originally?
I am not a breeder of a Lykoi breed myself. I have not done the in-depth research.
I think they might be from Russia originally, or one of those former Russian countries. I don't know. Keeping track of cats is tough. Keeping track of politics is tougher, I would argue. But from somewhere around there, they're not from Transylvania, but they actually look like they might be, right?
They do. They look like they have this appearance of these werewolf-type cats, if you want to call it. They have a different type of hair. It can be slightly wiry, and their fringes around their face. I mean, they're really kind of a mysterious-looking cat.
Blah, blah. No, that's Dracula. That's the wrong one. That's
yeah,
not
that's
the werewolf.
Dracula.
Yeah, I've got that wrong. So one thing I love about cat shows, you go to a dog show. I love dog shows, too. They're fine, but the judge makes his or her decision based on the breed standard, but there's no opportunity to understand why the judge is thinking as the judge is. The judge just points. It's you. In cat shows, the judge actually interacts with the audience and says, you know what? This coat is not quite like the breed standard, and that is why I am giving a second place, and this cat is just perfect because look at the ears, look at the mouth. And they explain, maybe not in that voice, but they explain exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah, they do. Our judges are really good at this. They are constantly interacting with the audience, and as they're bringing out each and every breed, they will take some time and explain what each breed standard is. And then when they do get the final selection, like you said, they'll explain, hey, this one had this particular items, this one had this one that it exceeded on, and this is why this is best, exactly how you described it.
You know, and we think of dogs, we think of – so one difference between dogs and cats as far as pedigreed animals go – is that dogs were bred mostly for a working purpose. Not always. And sometimes the job was just to sit in a lap and look pretty, like many of the toy breeds. A toy poodle wasn't bred to do anything else except to look really pretty. But the standard poodles were originally hunting dogs, for example. And when we think of most dogs, whether it be any type of terrier that was originally bred to go to ground to get vermin, or maybe a herding dog that was originally bred to herd sheep, we have very few cats that are bred to herd sheep or to go, well, they all go after vermin, but that's probably how they were domesticated to begin with, or domesticated themselves, but
right. But
the cats are bred, as you mentioned earlier, really for looks. But they're also bred for temperament, I would suggest. And there's a consistency. If you're getting an Abyssinian, you're kind of getting a Border Collie of the cat world. Or a Bengal cat, you're getting a Border Collie of the cat world. If you're getting a, I don't know, a Siamese cat, you're probably getting a talk show host, because they will tell you exactly how they feel and why they feel that way. There are certain characteristics, I think, that are consistent as far as temperament goes. Do you agree with that?
I agree 110%. And like, for example, the Persians or the exotic, they're a very calm, docile breed. I have to call them couch potatoes. They like to kind of, they're the lazy man's cats, you know. They just want to sit around the couch and watch TV and get little treats. And then, like you said, the Siamese, that's a very talkative, active cat. So, yes, they are totally bred for temperament versus getting out there and working the fields.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why I'm a fan of pedigree cats. I really am, and I think that it's greatly unknown. But your cat show is more than about showing off the cats that will be participating in the show. And you do have an opportunity, by the way, to walk up and down the aisles and see the cats, even if they're not being judged at that moment. And you can interact with the breeders and ask questions of those breeders. But it's also an educational opportunity.
Oh, totally. All weekend long, we have educational seminars. We have different folks coming in, veterinarians. Steve, you're going to be there. I mean, the knowledge and information that people are able to receive every hour throughout the weekend, it's free once you get in. And, I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, you have great speakers. Well, you get what you can get in the case of yours truly, but other speakers are wonderful. I know that I'll be talking about an update about feline health studies that have been done recently, particularly news about feline infectious peritonitis. What did I say? That's a long name. FIP, as it's called, always considered fatal. I mean, since this disease was discovered, and it's a mutation, if you will, of the coronavirus. Coronaviruses, of course, have been in the news. That's an understatement. So I will discuss all of that. And I will also talk about the Fear Free initiative, which is kind of sweeping veterinary medicine now. What are some of the other topics that other speakers will speak about?
We will also have some speakers talking about how to groom your cat. They will have some speakers talking there, possibly if cats are having bathroom problems, not going in the correct places, how to correct that. They'll have speakers talking about dietary needs of cats. They're just like people, different cats, different dietary needs.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a whole lot of different information coming people's way.
Okay. So tell me again when the Lincoln State Cat Show is.
February 22nd and 23rd, 2020 at the Kane County Fairgrounds.
And you can find it by, well, going to your website, because I know you have one of those maps. So if you don't have GPS, and also to learn more about the cat show, your website is?
LSCats.org.
Mm-hmm, as in Lincoln State.
We also are running up on Facebook.
Okay, so it's LSCats.org. Or check them out, the Lincoln State Cat Show on Facebook. And by the way, specifically, I'll be speaking, I think it's 2:30 on Sunday, but you're open pretty much all day, Saturday and Sunday, correct?
That is right. And Garfield will also be there to see the kids with free coloring books.
Garfield the cat, not Garfield the goose?
Garfield the cat.
Okay. I figured. You never know. What?
I remember Garfield the goose in Chicago. That's where I was raised at. I remember Garfield's.
Yep, you bet. Chicagoans know exactly what I'm talking about. I miss Garfield the Goose. But you get to see Garfield the Cat at the Cat Show. Thank you very much, Kerry. Have a great show, and I will see you Sunday.
All right, Steve. Thanks, man.
Thank you. So excited about the Lincoln State Cat Show. I love cat shows. It's just a lot of fun. And it's not an expensive proposition, friends. It's very family-friendly, of course. And as I said, I'll be there Sunday at 2:30 talking about lots of different things, one of them in the news regarding coronaviruses. So cats and dogs do get their own coronaviruses. And I'm not a medical physician, but we get coronaviruses too. We have for years and years, generations, thousands of years. And when people get coronaviruses that we're accustomed to, that our immune systems are accustomed to, we're able to fend them off pretty quickly, sometimes without any symptoms whatsoever. Sometimes we get the common cold or something like that. Uncomfortable for a couple of weeks, maybe even just a couple days. This is different because it is a coronavirus that is novel to human beings, and we don't have antibodies to fight them off. But what about cats and dogs? Can they get this same coronavirus, the one in China, from us? Or can they transmit it to us? I'll be talking about all of that. And I'll also be talking about the Fear-Free Initiative, which is just changing the world of veterinary medicine, but also dog training, even though I'm at a cat show, and grooming. And many cats do need grooming. So I will talk about all of that Sunday at the Lincoln State Cat Show at 2:30. What happened, I am so stoked about Naperville. And this is important. So Naperville is a fairly large town. One reason why it's important. Naperville, I think, is the 13th city in Illinois to do this. And that is to ban the sale of dogs and cats at pet stores. But the other reason why this is so important, it's, first of all, the second time around that Naperville has tried to do this. And now they've succeeded. But also persistence pays off, right? But also because there's a Petland store and a Happiness is Pets, or Happiness Our Pets. Two stores, two national chains, big ones in Naperville in one community. And that's important. So the pet industry knows that. And the pet industry sent in some heavy players to testify in opposition of the proposed ban. And why do we not want, in case you don't know, I ought to talk about this. Why don't we want pet stores selling dogs and cats? It's because of where they're sourced from. No responsible breeder of dogs or cats. We just talked about cats. I've talked to thousands, I think, of breeders in my lifetime. And even the American Kennel Club, they say that no responsible breeder should ever sell to a pet store. Interestingly enough, the American Kennel Club are among those that are fighting these bans, which is a whole other story. The pet store industry is too, for sure, because these national chains, well, they have lots of money, and they care about keeping that money rolling in. So if they're not getting these dogs, mostly dogs, more than cats, if they're not getting them from responsible breeders, where are they getting them from? Well, can you say puppy mills? So I want to put an end to puppy mills. I think most people in this country do. I mean, in America, statistically, about half of us share our beds now with our dogs. And, of course, cats, at the end of the day, if they're indoors, they sleep wherever the heck they want. But oftentimes, it's in our bedroom as well. So how can we allow in this nation, this pet-loving nation, puppy mills to continue to exist? That is beyond me. So anything we can do to chip away at that, I am absolutely all for. But the pet industry, as I was saying, sent in heavy hitters into Naperville to testify to say, no, this is wrong. We want to allow businesses to sell whatever they want. It's unconstitutional for businesses to be told what to sell. Well, that's a ridiculous argument. In Chicago, as just one example, right here in Chicago, you cannot sell spray paint. That was decided some number of years ago. Might have been Mayor Daley still, and that group of aldermen who said, no, you know, you can't sell spray paint because we have people using spray paint for graffiti signs and all that kind of thing. So right or wrong, the city just banned the sales of spray paint in Chicago. But there are all sorts of examples like that all over the country where you just can't sell certain things or you can't sell them in certain days. Like lots of liquor stores in many communities just aren't open on Sundays. I mean, there are just so many examples of that. You know, I don't want to see people put out of work, which is the other argument that if you close these pet stores, people will lose their jobs. But I don't want to see companies or businesses operate unethically. And to me, anyone that sells animals that are from puppy mills, you're not being so ethical. And you're not telling people exactly where those animals are from. You're not necessarily being honest about it. And that is actually consumer fraud. So, I mean, there are lots of reasons why I'm such a proponent of this. But now the opposition is saying, okay, you passed it in Naperville, fine. So what we're going to do is we're going to find a way to reverse what you passed statewide, not only Naperville, but Chicago, and I think Waukegan, all these other cities in the state, Springfield, all these other cities that have said also no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores. And they're going to try to do this in other cities or states, rather, all over the country. They're going to try to reverse laws that have already been passed. Now, they call it preemption, I believe. I don't know how you can do that. So you talk about doing things that are unconstitutional. It seems if a group of public officials or legislators have voted on something, that's the way the vote should go. And if a group gets together and decides to change their mind, fine. But to push them and spend a whole lot of money, which is what they're doing, to do that, I'm not sure that's quite right, but that is the goal now in Illinois. And there's a bill that's being floated out there to try to do that. So contact your state representative, contact your state senator, and say this should not fly. Speaking of which, breed-specific legislation, that means banning certain breeds like no pit bulls, no Akitas, no Rottweilers, no Dobermans. Lots of communities had done that, and at one point in time, Chicago might have, and it's my radio show that changed all that, actually. So there was a serious, really sad story of a dog attack. It was a Rottweiler in Chicago, and Alderman Shirley Coleman, it was her ward. She's no longer, for many years, she's no longer been an alderman, but she came on the radio, and she was supportive of banning Rottweilers and pit bulls, or dogs called pit bulls. And the listeners just called you all. You called in and called in and called in and said, no, that's not right. And didn't scream and yell, but gave logical explanations. And at the last commercial break, she came back after that break and said, you know, Steve, you got it. You got what you want. And I said, well? She said, well, you will now be in charge of a blue ribbon task force to tell us what to do to rewrite the Animal Control Act so it's a bit more stringent. But for all dogs, any mix, any breed, which is what you want. I said, yeah, that is what I want. And we did that. I never got a blue ribbon, but we did do that. Meanwhile, Denver, Colorado went the opposite way. So the alderman, 50-0, voted in favor of what this task force that I brought together did. In Denver,
It was the opposite. They supported banning dogs called pit bulls. And lots of other communities at that point in time, hundreds, all over the country did the same thing, the entire state of Ohio. But what we now know is that the breed bans really don't make communities any safer at all. We know that. I mean, we've accumulated data. I wrote a paper on it, actually, a published paper for the American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior. I co-authored, actually, that paper. But others have shown the same. I mean, it's clear that the breed bans really don't do what they were intended to do. The only thing they do is maybe, definitely, actually, mean more deaths for dogs. Because what do you do with these dogs that you call whatever breed or mix of breeds are involved? And speaking of which, how can you even ban a dog if you don't know what that dog is? So pit bulls, we know today by genetic testing, maybe not 20 years ago, it was assumed, but we know today that pit bulls are, after all, only mixed breed dogs. So what you're banning is a mix, and I don't even know what that mix is, right? Because the mix is different from dog to dog to dog. It's a certain look they all share. That's called profiling, which is wrong as well. Denver passed rescinding the breed ban, but now the mayor apparently is having second thoughts about it. So I sure hope they go with what the I don't know if they call them the board or whatever they do in Denver, but whatever group it is that said, and city council, those are the words I'm looking for, that said that we now officially say by our vote that we want to rescind this law. I hope that, because apparently in Denver, the mayor can veto it just like that. And there's talk that the mayor might do that. I want to talk when we come back just for a moment about Illinois state law and how insurance companies are oftentimes they treat pit bulls differently or dogs called pit bulls than any other dog, and how wrong that is. So homeowners insurance often says if you have a dog that is referred to as a pit bull by a veterinarian or by the owner of the dog or somebody, that you pay more for homeowners insurance, or maybe you can't even get then homeowners insurance. Now, not all companies, but most companies. And it's not only dogs called pit bulls. It depends on the company. They may, and it depends on the state, because it's all different state to state, which doesn't make any sense. So they may include Akitas or Rottweilers or Dobermans or whatever the breeds are. How can an Akita in Illinois be different than an Akita in Indiana? It's still the same breed. So to ban them in Indiana and not in Illinois or the other way around doesn't make any sense to me anyway. Well, there's a proposal to do something about that, to prevent insurance companies from charging more or perhaps not even accepting certain breeds. Contact if you live in Illinois, your state representative or state senator, and tell that person how you feel about this.